Hello everybody, this is Loki Away of Loki, and welcome to Know It Podcast. Here it is my job to interview the extraordinary gamers out there, whether it be challenge runners, those who completed games in their entirety without taking a single hit or point of damage, speedrunners who completed games in mere minutes that would normally take hours, and those who completed games completely blindfolded, as well as the amazing content creators out there, YouTubers and streamers creating entertaining, engaging content online. Today's guest is Relya, that's R-E-L-Y-E-A on YouTube, Twitch and TikTok, and Hell Yeah Relya on Twitter, that's H-E-L-Y-E-A Relya. Relya is a full-time content creator, predominantly on YouTube, across a whole host of other platforms, including streaming, Instagram and TikTok. Relya is well known for his huge assortment of guides for the indie platformer Hollow Knight, as well as that having produced guides on many other games, streams, and produces lo-fi gaming music. In this conversation, we're going to how Relya approaches creating a good guide video, his focus on creating evergreen content, the preparation he did before transitioning to becoming a full-time content creator, as well as recommendations of current and up-and-coming indie games. I hope you enjoy this conversation with Relya. Right, Relya, thanks very much for taking some time out to come on the podcast. Welcome. Hope you're going well, man. How's it going?
Yeah, I'm doing real good. Been keeping busy, and I feel like I'm always searching for that next little bit of content of like what I'm getting into.
We're going to go into a whole host of things, indie games, content creation, guides, and everything. But I'd like to start with a question I've been curious on for a while, which may be a very short answer, which is, where did the name Relya come from?
Oh yeah, super easy. It's my last name.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, family name. So, but don't ask me where that comes from, because I have no idea. I keep seeing like mixed signals of stuff online. I'm a complete mutt and I don't know a whole lot about my history. So yeah, I don't know.
No, it's Swift. Where best to start than the beginning? The earliest videos I found on your channel was of Breath of the Wild guide, and was interested if that was your first step into content creation and how that came to be.
I actually started a year or two before that, just briefly trying to do Twitch streaming. Mm-hmm. And so I had done some, what was that game? Halo. I was playing like Halo 1, 2, and 3. I think it was Master Chief Collection had just come out. And so around that time, I did a handful of streams, and it wasn't really feasible in our small apartment where there was no space for me to do it. I was using the home TV. And I was taking up the entire living room to do a stream, right? So it just didn't really make a whole lot of sense. So we stopped doing that pretty quickly. When I say we, my wife would stream with me sometimes. And yeah, just kind of shelved it for a little while. And then, eventually moved into Zelda Breath of the Wild once we had more room and I could set up something.
So was it always the intention to go into some form of content creation base?
I was always interested in content creation, but once Halo didn't really work out, I got really, really interested into the analytics of like how YouTube works, how does search-based traffic work, and all that kind of stuff. In mm-hmm. fact, one of my final papers for college had to do with analytics on websites and stuff like that. So I had all this stuff that I was learning, and I started reaching out to other YouTuber content creators and helped them with coming up with ideas for their channels. And one of them had reached out and said, yo, why don't you make your own channel? Why don't you get into this? Like, you're telling us and helping us. Like, I'm sure you could do this. So I just gave it a shot. And yeah, you can see how poorly done my first video was. It was, the audio was completely bad. The video wasn't rendered properly. There's black borders around the edges. I rambled on for an extremely long time. It was bad, but the search portion of it was done very, very well. And the meat and potatoes of it was done really well. And it just led me to want to keep going after I had done a handful of videos. Yeah, I kept doing well in search traffic. So I just kept going.
So for people who might not be as familiar with, I guess, the business of YouTube being by searching, that is providing videos that, you know, people will be actively looking for to answer queries on particular games or...
Exactly, 100%. So a lot of what I do is I try to find games that people are searching for actively, right? So that's typically not indie games. I never jumped into this with the intention of jumping into and being an indie game content creator. I was finding that there was a lot of people searching for Zelda Breath of the Wild, and there were also a lot of people specifically searching for how to cook, how to do this, that, and the other, how to make cold resist recipes. So very, very niche specific things, but there weren't a whole lot of videos on it. So lots of search, no competition. I found these little gaps or little holes in the market, and I made those videos. And even though they weren't the best, That was it. There was nobody else making the videos. So that's kind of how I got started. I kept trying to find these little gaps in the market and was always testing. So I played a lot of different games, and it wasn't just Zelda Breath of the Wild. I kind of iterated and tried different games as time went on.
And could you mention about your approach, your philosophy to creating guide or tutorial content? And the reason I ask that is from your channel description has in it, my mission is to help you make the most of your game time.
Yeah, so the way that I see it is, as I got older, I have less time to play video games, and there are certain times where you reach a point in a video game where it's no longer fun to go search for that next upgrade. It's no longer fun to bang your head against a wall trying to solve a puzzle. It is fun when you have the time to do it and when you want to do it, but everyone has a different breaking point of when it's like, yo, I need help. And so I think that what I try to do is I try to get people the answer to the question they're looking for as quickly and easily as possible. And so I don't ever start my videos with like, hey, don't forget to subscribe and like my video. And hey, sorry, I didn't post last week, my dog, this, that, and the other. Nobody cares. I come at the content creation side of it as nobody cares about me and who I am. Somebody has the game open. They have a very specific question and they want the answer to it now. And so if I can give them the answer in a short, concise way, I need to get better at adding a little bit more me and personality in the middle of the video where it's not going to take away from their experience of getting the information. But then I can do an ask at the end if it's appropriate to then be like, yo, subscribe for more tutorials, or hey, I live stream twice a week, or whatever the call to action would be at the end of the video. But I don't burden people or make it longer than it needs to be.
So the full focus is on making sure that the value is there first before even thinking about having like an additional there.
Oh, 100%. I always look at it from if I was the viewer, how would I like this? And it's changed over time, like how I do that. There's been times where I would do a Hollow Knight tutorial video and I would speed up the footage where in like really long straightaways and then just kind of show somebody on the map, hey, I went from here to here. And then I would get a lot of feedback saying, yo, don't speed up the footage because I can't play with you. And then I have to rewatch it and whatever else. So I kind of had to iterate and figure out like what is the best experience for everyone. I thought, yo, let's just speed up the boring parts or speed up certain, it's been a process, but I think I've been getting better.
With approaching games, do you find a balance between, I guess with new games, the enjoyment of having your first playthrough versus, I guess, having that free market of videos that are being put on first will be searched quickly and will appear at the top, let's say?
So typically what I try to do is I need to play the game first to figure out where the sticking points are. So I will try to finish a game and then figure out, oh man, this was a really tough puzzle or this, that, and the other, whatever it is. And then I'll make kind of mental notes of where those things were, and then I'll go back and play the game again on a separate save game file and very cleanly, in like I said, quick and to the point, show them how to find all of those different things. And sometimes telling somebody how to find, I don't know, a shield or something in a game requires one or two other videos before that to set everything up. Because I don't know exactly where the viewer is in their journey of playing the game. And if they only want to know how to find the shield, well, it's possible. Well, it's very possible that they only need the shield and they don't need the stick and the sword and the dash and whatever abilities that came before that. So if they need those other abilities, if they're looking for the shield, but they need those other abilities, I need those other videos available too. And I separate them on purpose. So in that way, people only get what they came there to search for. People only get what they're looking for. That's, yeah. But they, you know what I mean? Like there, it can get pretty complex fairly quickly.
Because one thing I noticed as I was searching through some of your videos was that your descriptions are very connected in, and what I mean by that is in the description of these guides, there is obviously the written content, but then there's also links to various other videos that have ties to the current video, such as if you're going through a description, it might be, oh, if you don't have Shade Soul left, Shade Cloak left, yet. God, words, English. If you don't have Shadecloak yet, here is the video for that. And then that description then can have a video if you need to access something else. Your videos are very connected, let's say.
Yeah, very much so. And the whole point is it's all about the viewer journey and trying to meet them wherever they are. Because I have no idea where they are or where they think that they're supposed to be. Somebody could look up how to get through the black barrier in Hollow Knight or whatever. And it's a very specific wall, but you need, I'll give you the answer. But if you want to now know how to find it, well, that's going to be a separate video. And so, but knowing how to get that, that might be that you need two or three other things. So yeah, it's always making it very easy for people to get only exactly what they want. And the other part of that is it helps avoid spoilers, right? I want people to only get what they're searching for. So that way they're not like, oh, why did you tell me there's this, that, and the other thing? Or why did you tell me where these five things are? I only need to know where this one thing was.
And is that reason for some of the videos where it says at the start, you need X, Y, and Z before carrying on in this video, you need these items in order to do this path or this route or this walkthrough?
Exactly. Otherwise, there's a very high likelihood of, there's a very high likelihood of potential. That doesn't sound right. English. There's a very high chance that they watch a video and then they get to the end and then realize that they don't have the correct ability or weapon or whatever. And then they just wasted their time. So everything is very intentional to try not to waste the viewer's time.
And I think that's a really great way to do it. In a separate, I guess, category, there's so many times when I've tried to search your, for example, video editing advice on software, on DaVinci software. And there's so many videos that are like 10 minutes plus with only about 30 seconds of that, the actual stuff that you need. So having something condensed and, as you say, value first is great.
I can't tell you how many videos, like the best thing you could do is skip forward anywhere from 15 to 30 seconds and then see, okay, is this where the video starts?
Yep.
And I don't like that. So I'm changing it.
What was it about? So we've mentioned it a couple of times, Hollow Knight, but I would say you're well known from your Hollow Knight guys tutorials and content. What was it about that game that's hooked you in to do so much with over the years?
Well, the first little bit of it is one of my early playthrough videos, like early. It wasn't even a tutorial or anything. The video got something like over 1,000 views, maybe 1,000 or 1,500 views. And for a Let's Play, that was a lot for me, especially when I was smaller. Maybe I had maybe 1,000 subscribers at the time, give or take. And so just seeing that, I was like, I'm gonna double down on this. Whenever something works, you don't just do it once and like kind of let it go. You typically have to kind of try and do more. So I was already doing tutorials for other games at that point, but hadn't really started doing tutorials for Hollow Knight. And so once something even remotely began to work, I went all in. And so very shortly after that first video, I did something like 10 tutorials, and then all of those did well. And so then I just kept going. I didn't see any point of stopping, because it is a very complex and big and difficult game. And I got really lucky in that I didn't actually start making content for a year after the game had come out. And once that had happened, I noticed that when I personally was trying to play the game, I got stuck trying to find Shadecloak, if I remember right. And I could not figure out how to open a specific door. And the only videos I could find were long form 3 hour long streams of saying, hey, we found how to get to this door. Well, I would then have to scrub through the video, couldn't find it. Long story short, there's no content. Again, I found the hole and I started making videos on it, and it's the rest is history. I feel like I got lucky. I don't know.
I mean, Hollow Knight is an amazing game for guide content, because of, as you say, the complexity of it, it's the different endings, the things that can only happen once per save file. There's so much variety in a game.
Exactly. And man, that was one of the things that was really difficult. Early on, I played the game on the Nintendo Switch. And so for all of the guides that I did everything on one save game file. So I would play through the game and in one sitting, go get all of the mask upgrades. And then in the next sitting on the same save game file, I would go get all of the pale ore for your nail upgrades, and then go and so on and so forth. And doing everything in one sitting on the same save game file was so tedious and slow and time consuming, I think that's one of the reasons why my videos did well, is that they showed you how to get from point A to point B. It was also really approachable, because I'm not good. I'm not good at Hollow Knight in any way, shape, or form. I would even consider myself fairly bad at the game. And people tell me, they're like, dude, you're not that good. I know. I never claimed to be good. But I'm just one step ahead of the person who can't do it. And that's all I need to be able to do, is I need to be able to say, hey, I'm not trying to show people how to speed run or do a perfect hitless boss fight. You know what I mean? It's a different thing trying to do a boss hitless versus, hey, let's struggle through this thing and let me show you how to basic dodge the attacks and we'll get through it. You know, I feel like I went in a big circle. I don't even remember the question.
Fine. Sorry. I had a thought that's just ran out of my head for a moment. So has your process of creating guy content been changed since those initial days?
I would say that it's probably evolved a little bit over time, in that there's probably little things that I pay attention to or do that I don't even really think about anymore, as far as making sure to describe what you need to at the beginning of the video, and trying to keep it more concise in the beginning, and like getting right into the guide like immediately, like all those little things that we've kind of been talking about. I don't really think that they're like, the way I go about it, I don't think has really changed. I've always played the game first and then try to figure out like, what do I need a guide on, as opposed to like trying to do both at the same time. I don't typically like play the game and be like, oh, that was hard, I better turn that into a guide of like what I just played. I can't like take a playthrough of me doing something for the first time and struggling and then also that be a guide, because then there'd be a disconnect of like me showing like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know. I feel like that would be really difficult. I don't know. So anyway, yeah, I always have to go back and replay the game. There hasn't been a whole lot of changes there. But yeah, Hollow Knight was nice though. When I did get onto finally started playing on PC, and I learned what debug mod was, and even more specifically bench warp, so I could warp around the map and give myself different skills and items and whatever else. That was a huge, massive, amazing time save in creating content. And I wish I knew more about mods and stuff. Like, I wish stuff like that was available in more games, because that would be amazing.
Yeah, I'm. It's funny because I've done some no damage stuff of Hollow Knight, and I play on PS4. So when practicing certain bosses or sections on PS4, you need to use save states, which is using like a USB plugged into the computer and into the PS4, I should say. And the jealousy I had when I discovered debug mod in terms of practice capability.
Right?
And for those who don't know, debug mode, pretty much you can do whatever you want. You can port, you can teleport, you can set your health to infinite. That'd be able to practice a certain boss for as long as you want until you're comfortable. It just solves so many issues.
Yeah, basically anything that you could change, whether it's giving yourself the cheats or giving yourself abilities or taking away that stuff. It's so good, so helpful.
In terms of actual mods, do you have any recommendation or standout mods that you think people would enjoy trying?
Oh man, I feel like all of the boss fight mods are super fun. All of them. Like even the ones that are extremely difficult, still fun. Like, there's some that I'm still practicing and haven't even beaten yet, like Double Radiance. I enjoy it. I think it's fun, even though I can't beat it for the life of me as of yet. There is one. Let me pull this up real quick. There was one that stood out that was just like, wow. Was it called Lost Kin?
Oh, is this the one with the waves? What's the name?
Is it Corrupted Kin? Oh my gosh, the Corrupted Kin boss fight, like you said, changes up the Lost Kin boss fight so much and adds so many different little elements that aren't normally in the game that it was brilliant. That's all I have to say. That mod was just a chef kiss amazing.
So like, a lot of modded bosses are bosses that the attacks that the boss can do are replicated or changed or angled differently, but in that particular fight there is completely new things introduced to the fight that mm-hmm. you've not seen in any other aspect of the game, playing in just in the vanilla game.
Exactly.
It's impressive what people can do.
Exactly. Yeah, so good. And then as far as just kind of changing things up, yeah, anything that just really changes the gameplay a lot, there's the Hollow Knight, was it the AK mod or gun mod, something like that?
Yeah.
And that one's really fun just because it's different, being able to shoot a gun, and it's really overpowered, and it's more of a for giggles more than anything. But then there's also the randomizer, really fun, because then every time you play the game, you can start a new randomizer, and now your map is completely different, and you can choose to like what level of randomization you want the game to be, as far as like how much the rooms are different, or if you want the items to all be randomized as well. So now you can get so randomized that every geocache, like the little rocks and stuff that you hit, those are all randomized as well. So you could go and like go pick up a map or something where you would normally go pick up a map. Well, now you only get 15 geo, and then you go do something else, and everything's random, and you just never know what you're gonna get, and it's fun. It really is.
I'm constantly shocked at just how much there is with Hollow Knight, because first of all, just from the game itself, for being an indie game, so much content, not including the patches which they added as patches, as content expansions, and not as paid DLC. There's so much that they gave out, but very cheaply, and just how huge the fan community is on top of that, the modding community and just the general community is enormous.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, it's got a bunch of little subset communities like of each of the different things. So you've got like the art community, and then like you said, the modding community, the speedrunning community, the wiki. They're their own little community as well. Like there's all these different groups, and it's just really awesome.
And just to mention a couple of projects that I've seen that are just amazing pieces of creative work has been the multiplayer that's been added, which I've seen you've done videos with Fireball. Yes. And Cranky. It's a really interesting videos, Hunter videos.
So much fun. I know that Fireborn specifically just put out something on either YouTube or Twitter or something, doing an all call trying to hire a developer to make the multiplayer mod more accessible. Right now it's really confusing to do the multiplayer. It's kind of tough, and whenever I played with Fireborn and Cranky and others, we've always used Fireborn's dedicated private server, which isn't like his home computer. It's like, I think it's on AWS or something. I don't know. And so all that, it has a large barrier to entry, let's just say that. And I really, really can't wait for them to make it just easy to connect with other people. Even if it's like hosted on my home machine, it'd be nice to like not give out my IP address. So yeah, long story short, I'm really, really excited for that. That's going to open up so many more like content ideas and like things that we can do, and just being more connected with the game.
Yes. I saw his community post about that, and it's super exciting. Looking to what can be done with that. Another project I'm looking forward to is a voiceover project. I can't remember his name.
Oh yes, that's by CC Mackey. Yeah, yes, he's doing the Hollow Nest vocalized.
It's a project where he's getting, I'll say voice actors, because anyone who's going to do it is a voice actor, but getting people to provide their voice for all the characters in Hollow Knight. And the mod is going to be, whenever you play through it, instead of just the subtitles and Hollow Knight being a silent game with just reading, having actual characters speaking, which should be fun. It may take a while, I believe, obviously, with the amount of characters there is in it, and imagine the complexity of the mod, but that sounds super interesting to watch, to see when it comes out.
Oh, definitely.
I think relatively recently, was the first Any% Taz that came out, which people may not be aware, tool-assisted speedrun, basically a computer playing through like a perfect speedrun of the game, and the first Any% came out relatively recently. Which was cool seeing some very interesting strats that came out in that. I believe you also spoke with CC to do with that, CC being the creator of the Taz.
No, CC wasn't the Taz creator on that one. Was with Constructive Cynicism is the one who actually created the Taz.
Yeah, sorry.
And yeah, it's okay. It's okay. I had to look it up to make sure I got the name correct. But an absolute amazing thing, because the entire task is made in a way where every movement is frame perfect the entire way through. And so there's times where the little knight, the player character, is doing things that don't really almost make sense. Like when they jump midair, sometimes they wiggle back and forth because that little wiggle is just a little bit faster, or they will they'll nail strike any wall that's behind them because the knockback will put them forward just the slightest frame forward. Just all these little teeny tiny time saves, and the save states that they have to use to put it all together is just mind-blowing, because there are so many, like, thousands upon thousands of things that get randomized in the game, going down from like the system time clock to the refresh rate, the FPS on your computer will actually change how things work and stuff like that. So the TAS will actually, I think it will actually upgrade or downgrade the frames per second in certain areas to get things perfect. It's nutty.
It's insane. I recommend anyone listening who has experience with Hollow Knight to check out, and even if you haven't, to watch it as well, because it looks mad anyway. And yeah, sorry, a bit of confusion there. By CC, I did mean Cynicism, but there's two CCs in this case, isn't there?
Oh, yep, yep. Yeah.
One for voiceover, one for Taz.
Yeah, we talked to him back to back, that's why I got confused.
And one last thing about the mods that I just remembered, in terms of mentioning the gun mod there. That's why if you ever go into like Twitter and look in GIFs, one of the first Hollow Knight GIFs will always be the knight with the gun. And that's sort of where it's inspiration from, but I can't remember where the video is from. But anyway. In terms of other pieces of content other than guides content, so I believe you've done obviously Let's Plays, reaction type videos. Is there any particular ones you really enjoy doing, or obviously all of them? Or
I really do enjoy doing the Let's Play stuff, the longer form content and getting it all edited down. Like, I enjoy it because I just enjoy playing video games, and I do enjoy playing different stuff, but it can be kind of tough the way that I have kind of almost pigeonholed myself into Hollow Knight. If I don't play enough Hollow Knight, man, people start wondering, like, yo, did Relliant stop playing Hollow Knight altogether? And it's like, no, I didn't. No, I'm just playing something else for like a week. Just give me a little break. So that's kind of a thing that's been tough. But as far as other different contents beyond that, every once in a while I try to do something that's I'd consider it almost more of like a challenge type content. When it's like a Hollow Knight modded boss, I'd consider that challenge. But yeah, Let's Play, challenge, and tutorials. I feel like that's, a little bit of reaction. I don't do too much of that, but every now and again, I think it's kind of fun to do a reaction to the top speed run of a game after I complete it, to be like, yo, that's how much of a noob, that's how terrible I am at this game. It's just humbling. But so I don't know.
Go on.
I was going to say, I was just thinking, like, I actually think it's really interesting and fun finding new games as they start releasing on Kickstarter. It's just really, really fun kind of seeing like what's coming down the pipeline, like even if it's going to be a year or two out. So you just have a lot more access to developers when they're in that stage, because it's kind of pre-release and they're in like marketing mode. So it has been really, really fun to interview the developer of Haiku the Robot and Crowsworn. And who else? Did I interview Islets? I think I just played that game. But just being able to interview devs and play through their game and just kind of share that and kind of leverage my audience and just be part of like the larger Metroidvania community has been really, really fun. And I've really enjoyed doing that.
Crowsworn is definitely one that has my attention. The trailer for that really piqued it. Super looking forward to that. Is there an appeal of indie games as opposed to, I guess, larger game developing companies
or games? A little bit. I think that what ends up happening is that the indie games have a lot of upside potential to be something new and unique and have the ability to kind of pop off a little bit. And I kind of like being a bigger fish in a smaller pond, so to speak. When it comes to making videos, I don't have a whole lot of competition on indie games a lot of the time. So that's one of the reasons why I've been doing indie games, and specifically one of the reasons why I wasn't doing anything on Elden Ring. Everyone and their mom was going to be playing Elden Ring, wanted to avoid spoilers, or they were going to be streaming it and making content and this, that, and the other. The game blew up and got everyone was getting tons of views. But I, one, it wasn't like, it wasn't a Metroidvania game, so does it fit in? And I'm always kind of trying to weigh the pros and cons of like, is just because it's popular, should I jump into it? And I don't know. I try to stay true to, I try to keep everything family friendly. That's like number one. And then if it's Metroidvania or close to it, I don't know. I try to stick within some certain higher level guidelines. But Zelda Breath of the Wild 2, I'm planning on jumping all over that once that comes out. And I probably will play some other bigger games, but I don't know. A lot of the AAA games just haven't really interested me as of late. Like, there's just nothing that's like really, really good. I feel like we're getting a lot of rehashes of just older games.
And eventually Silksong when it peeks its head over.
Yeah, it's going to be too popular, so I probably won't cover it.
Oh, okay.
People lose their minds.
Speaking of actually Silksong, is there any features that you would like for them to take over from Hollow Knight? And is there any that you would like improved from Hollow Knight?
Ooh, so things added specifically from Hollow Knight. I mean, I really enjoyed all of the systems that they had as far as it, just the Metroidvania systems in general, as far as like being able to upgrade and do things over time. The pacing of Hollow Knight as a whole was amazing. The size of the game was a breath of fresh air. And then also just the varied areas and enemies. I really hate when you play a game where you have the same enemy from like the first area that just gets reskinned from red to blue to gold, and they just have more health or deal more damage or whatever. It's just so it's lazy, for lack of a better term. It's just, I've always really appreciated the way that there's just so many different types of enemies in different areas and stuff in Hollow Knight. So I'm really excited for that. As far as things that change, man, fast traveling, and I hope it's easier to backtrack. That was one of the first things that I had a problem with in Hollow Knight, when I didn't know where to go and I was looking at my map trying to find like that open area, and like it would be halfway across the map and it would take me 15-20 minutes to get there just to realize like, oh yeah, I forgot I've been here before, one, and two, I need double jump instead of dash or whatever the case may be. I just don't have the correct item. Now I gotta go find somewhere else to go, and I wasted so much time backtracking. So hopefully that gets a little bit better. Yeah, I have a feeling that they're going to, whatever they end up doing, it's going to work out really well.
Yeah, I'd agree. It's, they have my trust. Simple, exactly.
I think there's only one mechanic that I'm slightly worried about. Mm-hmm. And you can tell me what you think about it. It's the system where you are able to use your weapons and tools, right? So let's say you have a limited number of dagger throws. That's something that was in the trailer. And let's say you use up all of your dagger throws and you've died. So now you don't have any money, and, or let's say it's early in the game or you've died a bunch of times. So you've used up all of your daggers and now you can't make any new tools, but you still have to fight the boss. Like, how you can only repair your tools at a bench, as far as we know. So if you have to go into the same boss that you're already getting your butt kicked and you don't get your tools, I think that's going to be tough for some people.
I would hope that they would design it so there is it may be a distance walk back, but within distance to collect whatever the currency will be used in Hollow Knight, and not in Silksong, I should say, and not fixed to have to complete the boss at that point, even though that does sound or has the potential to be tedious, depending on how much or it takes to replenish whatever item you're using.
Yeah, I'm hoping it's not like you die, now you got to go fight the little enemies nearby to go get their bone shards to then convert that into weapons and then go fight the boss.
Hopefully.
I'm sure it won't.
Yeah. Like I say, trust is there. We shall have faith. Is there any recommendations of current or recently released indie games that you'd recommend people trying out?
Ooh, great question. Let me see what I have in my Steam library right now. You know, I just played a demo for Rusted Moss. It's not out yet. It probably won't be out for a little while, but that was really interesting. You play as a character with a gun, and they have this really cool mechanic with like a, almost like a hook shot, but it works more like a rubber band or a bungee. Worth checking out. Free demo out right now. Tunic, absolutely amazing. That's one that I started making some tutorials on, and I've been very surprised at how the views haven't been higher on Tunic, and I think it's because the game's going to be a sleeper hit. So that's the only thing I think. The game is really fun. I really enjoyed it. It's not super long, but it's really dense and packed with like secrets and things to find. And you can go as deep down the rabbit hole as you want to. Like, it can get really deep if you want it to.
Yeah, I've not tried it myself yet, but I've heard some good things about Tunic. Definitely on my list.
Let's see. Have a Nice Death released in Early Access. Mm-hmm. That one has been fun. I know that one's going to get better with time. It's a roguelike, and so it's... I don't have the most fun on games that are super repetitive like roguelikes, and this one was still pretty fun. I think that, yeah, like I said, it'll get better with time as they're adding more and more stuff to it. Wandering Village is fun if you're into builders. Tales of Iron was really good. That was really fun. Those are the main ones. Those are the main ones I personally played.
And you have any that are coming up in the future that people should keep an eye on?
Let's see. Haiku the Robot's going to be coming out very soon. Crowsworn's not till later. What else? Islets is coming out soon. That one looked kind of interesting. I wanna play more of it to get just a better feel of that game, but that one was pretty interesting. Oh, Bow, Path of the Teal Lotus, I think it's called. They were on Kickstarter, so they're a little ways out, but that was fun. And trying to see if I have a list of anything nearby. I don't think I do. But yeah, there's a couple. I know that there's more out there, and I'm gonna be kicking myself later for not remembering some of them, but that's okay.
Yes, no worries. And if you want to see some examples or some gameplay, I'd recommend going on to Relia's channel, as there's quite a few showcases of various indie games, both released and upcoming.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna start playing a lot more demos and just different indie games here pretty soon, just to kind of change things up a little bit. But don't worry, I'll still play some Hollow Knight.
And I probably should have clarified right at the very start, in terms of an indie game is an independent game, so normally made by a small team or even an individual in some cases, such as like Undertale. So yeah, a bit late to describe that, but that's what an indie game is. For those who might have not been aware. Sort of a random query, but it popped into my head earlier. Is, as part of your brand, is the glasses or the sunglasses, and previously the mustache as well. Does the sunglasses ever an issue, I guess, with like streaming or anything like that, having to permanently wear them, I guess? And not permanently wear, I should say, because obviously you can take them off, but is like brand related
attached. Yeah, I mean, it's just being consistent, right? One is for consistency. It's not like I'm sponsored to wear a specific pair of sunglasses or anything like that. At least not yet, but yet, I'm hoping yet. To it. So there's that. But number two is a little secret that I actually heard from Casey Neistat, of all places, is that when he would do a lot of his vlogs and stuff like that, he would always have to, like, with his hand, point the camera at himself and, like, use the little, the little selfie video thing. And he would, the ideally, when you're doing a video, you talk directly into the camera, so that way the viewer can see you making eye contact with them. That's the most like polite and best thing to do, right? It looks the best. If you're looking at the little viewfinder off to the side, well, looking over somebody's shoulder or looking past their eyes or whatever, it doesn't feel right. It doesn't look, or it's just not good. But if you wear sunglasses and just point your nose at the camera, well, now it looks like you're looking at them, but your eyes can actually be reading chat, or you could be looking to make sure your positioning's right. Or 99% of the time, my camera is actually is flipped. So then that way, if I'm playing the game, my face is facing the game, but if I'm reading chat, my face is facing away from the game. but it makes it a little bit harder to point at things around the screen. So having the sunglasses, I can look at the camera and point to something on the screen, but really my eyes are like making sure that I'm pointed in the right direction.
That's an interesting tip if anyone wants to try that out, because that does seem handy in terms of, especially with streaming.
Right.
In terms of coming, so at the current moment, you are a full-time content creator, is that correct?
Correct.
So I was interested if there are any notable videos, collaborations, moments that you can reference or remember on your journey from a starter content creator, let's say, to being a full-time content creator.
Notable moments that happened along my journey, like to help me become a full-time content creator?
Say moments of extreme growth or things popping up, or even if opportunities that rose, notable things that come to mind.
Yeah, so I think even from the very beginning, I noticed that anything that was either streams or Let's Plays did not do well. And again, it mostly goes back to, especially when you're first starting, nobody cares who you are. And that all the tutorial content would still get views even years and years later. So even very early on, I pictured everything. My whole YouTube library is like a searchable content base that was just going to snowball and get bigger and bigger over time. And once I started doing Hollow Knight content, that snowball started just growing faster and faster as I became part of a community and very, very specific to one game, instead of like kind of jumping around and doing a couple of videos here and a couple of videos there. Like being a part of a community was the biggest pop off. Yeah, I would say that's probably the biggest thing, like being a group, like part of the whole thing, right? Like it was weird because even like as it was going on, like I never saw myself as part of the community. Like even now, like I don't even like it feels, I don't know, weird or different or whatever. Like I don't necessarily think of myself as like a big piece of the Hollow Knight community. Maybe I shouldn't even say that. Like I feel like I'm a small piece. I don't know. I also feel like it's really easy to get a hold of me with all this stuff. Like I don't know. It doesn't feel real. I still feel very much like a small content creator, if that makes sense.
I'd say you are known in the community. That might not be a good way to put it. Like if someone said your name, they go, "Oh, I know this from a guide or from experience or from video or insert."
Yeah, even now, like it doesn't. It like I'm known for the Hollow Knight guides. And known within the community that, and a lot of people know that, hey, I make good content for guides and stuff, and they'll point people to my videos, but it's still very humbling and feels very surreal, I guess is probably the best way to put it.
So say this is probably a buzzword, so to speak, but having a good basis of evergreen content is a good way to describe how you went through your content creation journey for the most part.
Oh, 100%. 100%. I'm not very funny or entertaining, and I know that. It's like, I'm okay, but I'm not a improv comedian who's just gonna hit those jokes at, like every time there's something that happens on the screen, I'm not gonna relate to it in some outlandish, crazy way. I'm just not over the top and whatever else. And that's fine. The good thing about being focused on evergreen is that I'm not always dependent on my last video for views and monetization and whatever else. So I think a lot of people don't know that actually, so I'm currently at about 100 and almost 150,000 subscribers, and it really has no bearing how many subscribers you have for how much you get paid on YouTube. You are paid only based on the number of ads served, and ads are served based on number of videos watched. And if your video is longer than 8 minutes, you can get 3 ads on a video. Mm-hmm. There are some people who will pad out their videos and try to get it longer so they can get more ads, whatever else we talked. I specifically tried to avoid that. And so if you have evergreen, then you can get more views over time, because even after Hollow Knight's been out for 4 years, there's a lot of new people who are still coming in after the game. And so that's been having a consistent flow of views come through has been really, really helpful. As opposed to always trying to knock one video out of the park and hope it, because a lot of people, they'll do a Let's Play series, and once their video is over, it might be served and get views over the next like week or month, maybe if they're lucky, But then after that, the video pretty much dies in search of traffic and nobody's really looking for it anymore.
And I feel like Let's Plays, for the most part, of course, there is always exceptions, are very much a part of, I mean, YouTube's still new, but a part of how old gaming YouTubers used to promote content. A lot of things now are very quick or very high edited or shortened or clickbaited, let's say. I've just gone through various words there, but I think you may know what I mean.
Yep, exactly.
Have you had any, or have your habits changed since moving into full-time? I believe you were a full-time accountant and then moved into full-time within the last year.
Exactly, yeah. So I went full-time in August, so we're looking at, man, are we almost at a year? We're getting close. And so what I was doing is when I was working full-time, after my kids would go to bed, because I've got three children, I would start making content from 8:30 at night until about 11 o'clock at night, and about 2.5 hours of every day of making content. And I would take a day off here and there so I could actually spend some time with my wife. But I spent a lot of my nights making content, whether that was recording or editing or whatever else. As quickly as I could, I got a video editor to help save me a ton of time so I could focus on just making the videos. And so now my habits have completely changed, because having full-time time to make content, I'm able to focus a little bit more on the back end as needed. So I am trying to, this is kind of a brand new thing, is get sponsorships and stuff for the channel. I'm still like learning how to do that and like what goes into that, as far as either reaching out to brands or game publishers and whatever else. So I've gotten a couple of sponsorships under my belt, which has been really, really awesome. And then I have the day to create content. So I try to schedule it out to where I record, if not every day, every other day, and then spend some of that time. Some of the videos, depending on how much editing they need, I'll either record it myself or it's coordinating. And it's all about trying to get as much content made as possible. And sometimes I go through, I don't know, a slump, a downturn for a little bit, to where I'm like, I get really nervous about like what content I'm posting or like what I should be doing next. And it's really easy to get in your own head about the stuff, you know? I don't know if you've ever had that problem about like, what do I do next?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. And I think that's a pretty common content creator type thing. So I'm kind of in the middle of that right now, to be perfectly honest. I'm like, okay, well, I'm definitely going to keep doing Hollow Knight. I got to keep my base going. But then I'm also trying to just expand into the slightly bigger Metroidvania genre as a whole. I want to play more games. And then if something pops off, maybe we'll deep dive into something. And so, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. I'm trying to diversify a little bit. I'm trying to I've definitely spent more time breaking out into other platforms as well. Also doing, now I'm multi-streaming more, which I wasn't doing before. I'm streaming twice a week instead of once. I'm also putting out content on TikTok and Instagram and Twitter way more. So yeah, it's just trying to grow everything, but also try to be a little bit focused. I don't know.
Yeah, that was definitely something that I noticed as I was doing some prep for this, just the amount of reach of your content at the moment. Like say doing videos for Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, all of which, for people might not be aware, takes separate to various degrees editing in order to make them accommodating for those platforms. It can't normally just be the same thing posted on everywhere.
Exactly.
So having experienced that move from a traditional job to full-time content creation, if someone was in a similar position, wanting or intending to do that plunge, what sort of preparation would you say is recommended before doing so?
I would, one, recommend making sure that you have enough money for your income to go to zero for whatever period of time is best for you. For me, it was a year. If YouTube was, if all of the content creation, if all of it was to go to zero, we'd be okay for a good amount of time, and in which time I could go get a job back in accounting. It wouldn't be the end of the world, right? So also knowing where you are in your, I don't know, stage of life, for lack of a better term. Like if you're young, 18-year-old, whatever, then spend some time. Go do it. You probably don't need as much of a safety net. You probably can live with some roommates and live for very cheaply and have a crack at it. Go for it. Why not? As long as you already have some level of success and you can go from 2 hours to 8 hours plus and you could crank out more content in that time, go do it. Why not? But if you're brand new to content creation and it's your first year or your first like 3 or 4 years and you only got a couple thousand views coming in per month, you got to get yourself to some like baseline level of consistent revenue coming in and understand how that all works before trying to go full time. You have to know like, who are you responsible to? Who do you need to support? If you've got a family and kids and whatever else, obviously it's going to take more money and more consistent revenue, right?
And how long would you say it took from your decision? Because I guess it was always in the plan, at least if things worked out, to try to get into full-time content creation. But from the point of this is a possibility to actually making that transition, how long would you say that process or thinking time took?
Man, I was probably thinking of it for about a year, thinking of like, okay, this could potentially be a full-time thing. And we had like a really good year of YouTube of after Hollow Knight had released on multiple platforms, on Xbox Game Pass and PlayStation Plus and this, that, and the other. Yeah, everything was going really well. And so I was thinking, okay, well, what if I had more time? Like, what could I do with this platform and this content and this, that, and the other? And so we've been thinking about it for a while. And then what ended up happening is I was saving almost all of the money that we made from YouTube short of what was going into like video editing and stuff like that was all being saved. So then that way we could go full time if we ever needed to. And then what ended up happening was my wife got sick at some point, and this was in August, and my accounting work got so backed up that it became an impossible mountain. Like, she wasn't like in the hospital sick or anything like that, but she was sick enough to where she couldn't watch the kids, and we didn't have a backup or anybody to watch the kids, so I had to take time off. But it was the end of a quarter. If you don't know anything about accounting, end of a quarter can be a very, very, very busy time. And I had so many clients, I had hundreds of emails piling up, and I just was under so much stress already on just a normal end of quarter. Like, I couldn't imagine climbing back out of like a week's worth of downtime of my wife being sick and all of the emails and all of the phone calls and all the this, that, and the other. Like, I was already coming up to deadlines and I haven't even begun anything. It was just so terrifying and mind-numbing that my wife and I are just like, you know what, let's just make this jump. We were kind of forced to an extent. Like, there was just I broke. I couldn't take it anymore. So I jumped ship.
What was the first week like after making that step?
Oh, I felt so good. Terrifying. I was scared. I was just like, did I really just do that? Like, what am I doing? And I felt like I'm like, okay, now I've got work to do. And I had to set up my LLC, which is the business formation. So if I got sued, they would sue the company and not like us personally, right? We had set up certain things like that and just kind of start working on like, I felt like I had to spend a lot of time doing like back-end stuff to make like processes better and faster and whatever. But yeah, it was definitely nerve-wracking. I'd go through waves of like, what am I doing? And to be completely honest, we're still not out of the woods as far as being a quote unquote full-time content creator. Like, we spend more money on the monthly basis than what we bring in, but we saved up enough money to where we're good for a long while. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's just kind of the it's that way by design, and now it's just time to work and figure out like what's the best way forward, try to figure out the promotions and getting sponsored, try to figure out what's the next game, pivot onto that. And all the above. It's a fun, just kind of stressful journey.
This might be a specific example, but I'm just curious because it's an area I have no understanding, being from the UK. How does healthcare work for self-employed in America?
To be completely honest, I'm not entirely sure for most people. And what I mean by that is I think most people would have to go to some sort of open market and pay out the nose for health insurance. I personally am in the Air Force Reserves, which is the military. And so I get health insurance for the entire family for an amazing rate. Like it's not free, but we are fully insured, and we, like, if anything catastrophic were to happen and like the worst thing you imaginable short of death, like only so much can be charged out of pocket, you know what I mean? So I'm going to stay in the military for a while to make sure we have health insurance, let's just put it that way.
We talked about the various platforms put content out, but I guess a separate or unique piece of content that you've also been producing is music. So I was interested, so Relia produces has a channel called Relia Lo-Fi Gaming, Lo-Fi Music.
You're good. Relia Lo-Fi Gaming Music, right?
Which is covers of various game soundtrack, not just Hollow Knight, but Mario, Zelda, Hollow Knight, and more. Where did the idea for that come from, out of interest?
So the idea originally came from Harris Heller, who is a big Twitch streamer, a guru for lack of a better term. He is a teacher and educator on how to stream and make better content. And so he didn't say, yo, go make lo-fi music or anything like that, but he made his own lo-fi music and was putting out a ton of content. And he wasn't necessarily making it all himself. He was producing it, he was hiring people to create the music, and then it was going under his label. He was paying people to make music, right? And so I found some people that I liked who were producing music, and I paid them to make lo-fi cover songs of different games. Because I was like, there wasn't enough really good lo-fi music of different games. So I figured, you know what, I will help create that. That's what I want to hear. That's what I would like to listen to, especially when I was working in accounting and like was really, really focused on whatever I was doing. I would listen to lo-fi music. Chilled Cow, the Lo-Fi Girl, all that kind of stuff, right? If you don't know, you got to check it out. Lo-Fi is just amazing in general. And so anyway, long story short, I got all this music made, and I had it done through... I know you didn't ask this, but I'm going to get deep on this. I hope that's okay. I had all this music made. I didn't know exactly like how to distribute it and how to whatever else, because you have to get licenses for stuff like this, especially for cover songs. So I went through a company called DistroKid. They will distribute it to YouTube and to iTunes and Spotify and this, that, and the other. So they distribute it to all those different places, but I only own the cover license to the song and not every license to the song. Now, apparently there's like 10 different licenses for each song. There's sync licenses, which is like matching the music to the video. That's so essentially, because I don't own that, people aren't allowed to sync the music. I'm not allowed to give you permission to put the music in the background of a live stream, which is devastating because it's exactly what I was hoping to do, and I didn't realize it until later. Yeah, so I'm kind of bummed. It's not what I was hoping it was going to be. So it has to be able to. It can only be distributed through DistroKid on the platforms where it currently lives. I can promote it. I'm going to talk about it, but I can't let other people put it on their live streams. And that's really how I was hoping to promote it and really like really get it out there. So if I want it to continue, I'm going to have to get new music made that doesn't like take inspiration from an entire soundtrack and rather maybe use certain elements or take inspiration of certain elements that kind of gives you like a little nostalgic feel instead of like the whole song. You know what I mean?
So is it the case of because they're covers of existing or similar to existing soundtracks, such as like a Pokemon theme, and would instead need to be Pokemon-esque themed in order to be it?
Exactly. Because it basically used the entire song and it's a cover, which... covers are legal as long as you pay for a cover license. And what that means is the original artist receives royalties if there's any sort of sales or anything like that, right? Cool, fair. I want to make sure everything's legal and done the correct way. But it's that sync license that gets you. But if you were to just use like certain like little sound effects or something, like there's plenty of people who have lo-fi Zelda music and maybe it uses Link's voice or something like that. But even that's probably not allowed. Man, music copyright industry is nuts. I don't fully understand it. Yeah, I don't know. So using Link's voice at like a like in a song, probably not allowed if it's the exact same pitch and frequency and all that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? So I don't know how people get. I think people just don't always sue, and I don't want to just fall under the, well, hopefully they don't sue me.
It's an interesting but very complicated area, which I've tried to have a gander into.
Yeah.
To give a little bit of the background of people listening, the example there with Harris Heller created a company at the point called Stream Beats, which produces, hired people to produce music that people could use without fear of getting copyright strikes, such as like on streams and such like, and then grew that very successfully. It's massive at this point. Just a bit of background, producing that for copyright free music so that people can stream and not have to worry about a DMCA coming through the letterbox.
Exactly.
Which is really surprising that more stuff's not happening on Twitch. There was a whole thing over the last 2 years, but then it's like quieted down and just waiting for it to come through again. But anyway, that's just my thing of looking through things.
Yeah, something will happen again. And every once in a while stuff pops up, like when people are like watching full episodes of America's Next Top Model, whatever the case may be. It's kid. There you go.
From the existing tracks, then, do you have any particular favorites, or is there any other series or franchises you would like to make cover-esques, let's say, going from the conversation?
Yeah. So first off, a lot of the Hollow Knight music is really good, and it, not just because I like Hollow Knight so much, but it is really good. Where is it? There's some of the Donkey Kong music. I don't know if it's just because I'm so nostalgic about Donkey Kong, but man, the Donkey Kong lo-fi songs are just like perfect. Aquatic Ambience specifically. If you haven't heard that, definitely worth checking out. And the Undertale lo-fi songs, a lot of those came out really good. Almost all of them, I'd say, were like, yeah, I'm hyped on it. The ones I didn't like so much, the Mario in Super Mario 64 songs, some of those I'm not really a big fan, but that's okay.
And like I say, is there any other series that you would like to make cover-esques of?
Oh, yes. Oh, I would have to do some more research on it. I always tried to pick like games that had the most number of great soundtracks, and off the top of my head, oh, you know what, maybe I've got songs to remix. I've got an Excel sheet of things that I hadn't going. Sonic, Fez, Chrono Trigger, Final Fantasy, Mario, Oreo, Pokemon, Minecraft. Nah, most of the ones I've already done are ones that I would have done. I'd have to do more research on it, to be completely honest. But Sonic was one of the ones that had popped up that I was thinking maybe we could do something with that, because some of their like Green Zone, Chemical Plant, and Aquarium Park, those songs are super iconic.
Oh, I can't remember what the one is from Sonic Adventure 2 when he's going down the hill. That's another one which I can't remember the name for, but that's,
yeah,
another stellar one. To go into the, so we mentioned live streaming at the very beginning of all this, but you do, as you mentioned, a couple of live streams per week. I believe you're currently going into a month of speedrunning at time of recording.
That is correct. So for the whole month of April, all the speedruns are going to be Hollow Knight, and they'll probably be doing any percent the whole month. I don't know that I'll switch gears and try to do another run, because it takes so much to get up to speed on even just one run, the pathing and figuring out like what is the optimum path and this, that, and the other. I've always had a very high level of respect for speedrunners, but then actually going in and doing it myself is a whole nother ball game. It's really tough, and it's just that much more impressive.
Is there an enjoyment or an appeal to streaming that you get aside from normal YouTube creation, should say?
I think it's more fun doing the live interaction and talking with people and kind of just being on the fly. and just having things happen live. I don't know. It's just something fun about it. And also there is some content creation aspects to it as well. As far as like, I've been trying to like add more and more elements to the live stream, as far as like adding myself green screened into the stream, if that makes sense. It's something that's a little bit more unique that I haven't seen too many people do. And I'm trying to like just add more stuff and just kind of make it more, I don't know, just more interactive and fun. And we've just got a really, really good community going of our regulars who always come back, and we always have just a welcoming place. And it's just cool to see who comes through and who hangs out. And I don't know, it's a good time. I feel like when I'm making videos, I play games less, because I spend so much more time on thumbnails, the research for the video, even like playing the game to do the tutorial. I'm not really playing the game in like a capacity for fun. I'm doing it like to make the video. So it's like I'll go a really long time without like playing games if I'm just making videos, if that makes sense.
How's the experience? Because I've never actually spoken to someone who actually uses a service, even though I've known about it for a long time. But how's the experience using Restream? And for those who may not know, it's able to post the stream to various different platforms like Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, as opposed to just live stream to one service. Just for a bit of background.
So the first time I ever tried it, I wasn't a big fan. And it was because it does kind of split up your audience a little bit. And every once in a while you get some people are like, yo, who else are you talking to? You're not answering questions of anything I see here. But as long as you get into the habit of reading the question and then replying to it, then everyone kind of knows which question you're replying to. And I feel like that's just a good habit in general, especially if the chat goes by a little bit too fast. That's just the way to go. So in that way, people know what you're talking about. If you're just answering just random things, people are going to be like, why did you just say banana? That doesn't make any sense. It felt awkward at first, and it felt awkward for a long time, because whenever I saw that question of like, hey, who else are you talking to? I always saw it as a negative, like, well, then this is dumb. Like, where else is the conversation at or whatever? But on the flip side, some people who really like Twitch only really like Twitch. They don't like the UI of YouTube. They don't like the way it feels, or the community, or not having their emotes and this, that, and the other. So the main reason I do it is to let anybody who wants to watch, I want them to be as comfortable as possible and watch it in however they want to watch it. Go watch it on Twitch, go watch it on Instagram, go watch it on Facebook. I don't care. You do you. The biggest community is on YouTube, because that's where all my videos live, but I want people to be wherever they're comfortable.
Just making it accessible for wherever people's happy to watch their streams.
Exactly.
Is there anything else you want to talk about before I go into some quick questions, Relia?
Nothing I can think about. I think it's been going good.
Actually, there is one more thing from my side. It just reminded me, a question just came to mind as you were talking then. What do you think about when creating a thumbnail?
Man, I'm honestly really, really bad with making thumbnails. And it's something that I do want to get better at, and or just start hiring out for. And like I said, we're already not making as much money as we need to be, so I can't really hire out right now. But that's one of the first things that I want to do is that. So what do I think about? I think about not doubling up whatever it is the video title is going to be. I want to make it so it's separate but standalone. Like, you should be able to look at the thumbnail and know exactly what that video is going to be about. Or it should make you ask a question and be like, what is that? And then have enough curiosity to make you want to click. So somewhere in between there, between being able to stand alone or leave you with just a little bit of a question, depending on what the video is. That, and then the other thing is trying not to add too much to the thumbnail. Only having a couple of elements stick out whenever possible. So in that way you're only focused on maybe two or three main things at any given time. Those are kind of the main things that I think about. I don't always execute on it, and what I do execute on, I think I do a pretty bad job, to be honest.
If you could give one piece of advice for a new content creator, what would it be?
If it's somebody who wants to get into streaming, I'd say don't. It's almost impossible to grow on streaming alone. Nobody knows who you are, nobody cares who you are, and I There's no discoverability. I hate to say that nobody cares who you are. Nobody cares about who you are yet. Give it some time. People have to get a chance to know you. Figure out who it is that you are trying to serve with your content and how best to serve them. So whether you are doing information tutorials, whether you are Johnny on the spot with your news, you're doing challenges, you're doing your super, super high level competitive content, whatever, like you're doing the no hit stuff, or you're just super funny and entertaining. Probably one of those five or a combination of those. You need to figure out like what is the value that you provide to your audience and who is your audience. Those are like the two different things. And then try to stay focused on whatever your niche is. Jumping around from game to game to game, people don't know what they're subscribing to or following to or whatever else. Try to keep at least under a broad genre if possible, and then niche down to a game for at least a little while and keep testing. Eventually something will hit.
This may produce a similar answer, but just wondering if it produces a different one. If you could tell yourself one thing at the start of your journey, what would it have been?
Make more content. More. It's easy to get in your head and worry about what people will think or say or whatever else, and most of the time they don't, or it doesn't matter. More content means gives you the chance and the option to fail faster and to learn. Don't just put out crap to put out crap, but like just keep getting better and make more. And I feel like I'm also telling that to myself literally right this second. I haven't been putting out enough content, not even close to what I should be at.
It can be one of the ones we've mentioned during this conversation, but if there was one game that could be released tomorrow, either an announced, unannounced, or a sequel to a game you don't think will ever exist, what game would it be?
Oh, man. So my initial thought, obviously, Silk Song. Second thought is Crow Sworn. But then an unannounced game or a sequel to a game that has never been announced, like that's a completely different ballgame. And then, man, also Zelda Breath of the Wild 2, I really want that. I would really like a new Donkey Kong game. That franchise has been dormant for far too long, and I would love to see something with that. Oh, I changed my answer. Super Mario RPG, but like the legit Super Mario RPG, where it was also produced with Square Enix, with Mallow and Geno, like that old school. That's one of my favorite games of all time. And the quote unquote like spiritual successor of like Paper Mario was not it for me. That didn't do it. No, I want Super Mario RPG 2.
So is that reference to like the Superstar Saga and the Bowser's Fury, I think it was?
It was Super Mario RPG Legend of the Seven Stars.
Oh, yeah, I'd forgotten all about that one.
Yeah. Oh, I think about that way too often.
Yeah, that one, just there's so much Mario. there's too many Mario.
Yeah, I know.
To do with the mental challenges of content creation, if there was a time, could you tell me a time when it was taking a mental toll and how you got past that experience?
Don't think I've had too many times where I've had a mental toll. I mean, other than like I've said right now, it's like sometimes I feel like I can kind of stall in my content creation process, and then I start to second guess myself and wonder like, what should I be doing next? And I think the answer is just make more content. But as far as anything else, there's been times where I've made missteps in the community and made people upset. One specific incident was I did a reaction to a speed run for Fireborn, and that was like my biggest video, and he let me know that, hey, I probably should have asked first. And I didn't know what the customs and courtesies were when it comes to making a reaction video, especially because it was the entire video, right? So I it wasn't like, hey, I took a clip and reacted to that. I made a reaction to the entire video. So now knowing that, like, I feel like I got some backlash from the speedrun community, which was totally fine. I didn't know. And it was just one of those things, you just kind of move forward. You say you're sorry if it's warranted. In this case, I thought it was. And then now I know that that's what I do. Before I make any sort of, like, if I do a reaction video to somebody's entire speedrun, I always make sure to ask first, and I get permission before I go off and do it.
If I said most hyped, celebrated, excited moments you can think of over the last few years, what would be the first moment that comes to mind?
I think it was probably beating the fifth Pantheon for Hollow Knight. That was... and my kid's being born, that too. But the fifth Pantheon... No, It was something that took me months to complete because I was only really doing it on the live streams. I don't really practice off stream. And that's a thing that I think some people don't know or understand, or they're like, yo, this dude's really bad at the game. It's like, yo, I play twice a week. I'm only on these live streams. And so it was very difficult and took a lot of time. And then also doing something to that level of, gameplay of that requires that level of skill, doing that while also having chat right there and alerts going off and this, that, and the other, it was extremely, extremely difficult and took a very long time. But getting that was a rush or a thrill. That was really, really awesome.
And my final question will be, what's in the future plans of Relia?
Good question. I think the future plans include figuring out just how to put out more content. That's where I'm at. I'm like, man, I just need to go for it and just put out more stuff, for better or for worse. There's that. There's learning. It's a lot of stuff we've already talked about. Learning how to do work with publishers for sponsorships. Potentially figuring out how to retool the music thing. I think I've actually put out the last song that was going to go out. I can't remember if there's one more scheduled on the Relia Lo-Fi Gaming channel. And then once that's out, that the channel will end up going dormant until new music gets made. Obviously. So that's on my radar. I feel like I've got a lot of different things, a lot of different balls up in the air, and I just need to get better at not thinking about everything all at once and getting back to, okay, create more content is the pillar and everything else being secondary, and this is the way.
And if people wanted to check you out, where would they be looking?
My main everything is on YouTube. And then from there, if you want to like really be a part of the community, I've got a Discord, which is discord.gg/Relia, R-E-L-Y-E-A. But then I'm also on a lot of the other platforms too. Twitter, I'm on there quite a bit. And then probably TikTok after that, which has more behind the scenes and just kind of random thoughts and whatever else. I feel like every platform has something a little bit different, but it's all part of that that Relia community.
Well, Relia, I've enjoyed this conversation today quite a bit, so I hope you've enjoyed it as well, man.
Yo, it was so much fun. I really did enjoy it, and thank you so much for having me on. It was really cool.
No worries at all, and I hope everyone today has had a great experience listening. I hope everyone has a great rest of your day, even in the morning depending on your time zone, and we'll catch you in the next episode.
If you enjoyed that one, to hear more of the amazing guests, be sure to head over to youtube.com/wayofloki, Loki spelled with a C, or wayofloki.com/nohitpodcast.